This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know how I've been talking lately about how we're all so good at offering favors to people, but so reluctant to ask someone for help ourselves? It turns out the same thing is true for mental health. We talk about mental health more openly than we ever have. The conversation is everywhere. And yet, when it's our turn, when we're the one who actually needs to ask for help, somehow it still feels too hard. That gap is real, and BetterHelp went and measured it. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. Sit with that for a second. Nearly everyone agrees that reaching out is the smart, healthy thing to do. And yet most of us still feel the culture pushing against that wisdom. We've won the argument in the abstract and lost it in the moment. So here's the question I'd put to you, the Team Human listener. When's the last time you encouraged a friend to consider talking to someone? And when's the last time you gave yourself that same permission? Closing that gap doesn't start with a policy. It starts with us, treating it as normal, out loud. If you've been thinking of talking to someone, BetterHelp makes it easier to start. It's online, it's flexible, and it fits the life you actually have. 30,000 fully licensed therapists, a commitment to match you with the right one, and more than 12 years perfecting the online therapy experience. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. I just want to say you're welcome to the thousands of listeners who phoned, emailed, or written in to express your appreciation for Kobe Dryer Sheets. I know they've changed your lives and you just don't know how to respond. Really, you don't need to do anything more than use them instead of those plastic, chemical-filled, evil, and demonically possessed dryer sheets of the others. Actually, they're not even demonically possessed because they're not organic vessels. Kobe dryer sheets could be possessed if they were so inclined because they are real cotton made lovingly by appropriately compensated labor and renewable energy facilities and completely biodegradable. In a sense, every dryer sheet you buy is being rescued from spiritual attack or other exploitation. You can get a 10% discount by going to KobeDryerSheets.com and using the discount code RUSH10. You're on Team Human, Conscious Intervention in the Machine, an opportunity to connect, find the others, and metabolize this whole shebang together. This may feel like the end, but it could be the way we get to a new beginning. It's worth a shot. I'm Douglas Rushkoff, and you're on Team Human. So, this is a traditional Team Human monologue. It may not feel so immediately different to those of you listening to the podcast on audio, but as you might know, we've been shooting our conversations and my monologues in a fancy studio since spring, which is great and wonderful and a huge honor, but it's also prevented me from taking the time for a more intimate experience like this one, at least for me. I mean, don't get me wrong, video is cool, and it's great for spreading ideas on social media, reaching members of Gen Z and Gen Alpha who may only have time to watch a reel or a YouTube short, but having the camera in the room, it changes the vibe. It makes me feel like I have to be on and looking right into the lens and hitting my points just so. I think it makes my conversation partners also like a bit more self-conscious to have cameras and a crew, people watching the conversation. It's a lot of peripheral energy around what used to be kind of smaller. And it's made editing harder because you can't just slice and dice video as much as you can audio. You can't cut a word out without like getting a jump cut in the picture. But if you cut a word or a cough or something out of audio, it's just gone. You know, it creates a smoother audio experience. We're actually going to try to do something about that too, which is going to be to create an entirely different audio edit of the show from the video in order to get the audio podcast where most of you people are back to normal. So thanks for bearing with us as we navigate all this. Right now, I'm recording this from a hotel room in Munich, where I'm supposed to do a talk on human resilience in the age of AI. It's kind of funny because I've been talking about human resilience since the beginning, you know, really, in like the 80s, human resilience in the age of violent TV, and you know, human resilience in the digital age, human resilience with viral media, you know, but now everyone wants to know about AI. And I still feel like people, like they're getting this wrong on some fundamental level. So while I don't want to sit here and talk about AI, let me at least share this one incongruity. I mean, first off, we don't have anything like AI yet. We've got large language models. That's the stuff that most of us are using, things we can prompt. And these are not super beings of some kind. They can't, or at least they shouldn't, you know, compose your symphony, write your report, or make your presentation for you. They're more like smart three-year-olds, genius three-year-olds who can produce some great things, but can't really be trusted. And the mistake I see people making is treating their chats like big, realized AIs and letting them do big stuff rather than treating them like tools that can do lots of little stuff, less like the architect than the general contractor. Because when people entrust like AIs to write their course syllabi or create a conclusive report or develop a business plan, the output, it may look good to them, but it actually sucks. It really does. It looks good to them because the AI is tuned to make things look good to them, to make people feel good about themselves. But that has nothing to do with what it's actually doing. One of the emails I get like the most frequently these days are guest pitches from publicists that are written by their AI agents. And the formula's always the same. It's like, I heard your recent show on compassion, or I heard your recent interview with so-and-so, and it was so penetrating, and it got to the heart of the problem of X or Y. And then comes the pivot. John Doe's work takes that problem even further. And then this whole fake comparison, you know, leading to the pitch for John Doe to be on Team Human. And the problem, it's not just that the publicist used AI to shotgun the known universe of podcasts with pitches customized to their shows. It's that the comparisons and connections, they're really bad. I mean, the compliments about the show are nice. I mean, thank you, AI, for liking my show. But the comparisons, they'll say, like, you had a guest who spoke about, you know, being a death doula. That's why I think you'd be so interested in this woman who makes Halloween napkins, some of which have skeletons, which are usually of dead people. It's like that bad. It's the same with these AI-derived live reports. Someone in business gets some speculative idea, then asks Chat to justify it with a few case studies. And on the surface, the case studies may sound like they're supporting the premise, but then you look a little bit deeper and they don't really relate at all. They're analogous. Nice try, but not truly relevant. And what are we even supposed to do when we receive such stuff? You know, I could feed it into my own chat and have it generate a response, or set the AI thingy at my email provider to like auto detect AI generated emails and then auto reply. Let the bots just talk to each other and waste computer cycles and water and whatever. But the real problem here is people are asking AI to do the big jobs rather than the little ones. You know, the little one, like find the ISBN number of all my books so I can submit them to the Anthropic AI lawsuit. You know, give it the shit work. Look over the syllabus on early 20th century world drama that I wrote and let me know if I've left anything out that's really major or if I've leaned too heavily on the works of one region or one kind of person. The one study about AI that I've read and found compelling, it's the one from MIT that was misreported all over the place as saying that working with AI makes people dumber. It didn't say that. It was called Your Brain on ChatGPT, and it showed that if you approach AI for answers before you've wrestled with a problem yourself, your brain makes almost no learning connections. But if you work on a problem and then use the AI to continue the inquiry, you make even more complex connections in your brain than if you just worked out the whole thing by yourself. So it's a tool. It's a cognitive tool. It's not a smart thing that can do your work for you. It's not real in that sense. And then, you know, making matters worse, AI is trained to figure out what you like and how to please you, how to make you feel good. That was good work, Douglas. So people ask it to do something, and the AI not only does the work, but congratulates the user on such a great idea. It like love bombs you. So you get validated for not even producing the piece of crap that you may email to your boss or worse, your employees without even fully reading it. It sounds kind of right. Right? It sounds kind of right. It said I was right. It said it was good. And it's fine. And of course it sounds right to you because it's your AI that has learned how to sound right to you. Don't worry, though. The people you're sending it to are probably just getting it summarized by some other AI and agreeing with you, too. You know, at least it's a better feedback loop between people and machines than the social media loop. That one that was tuned for attention, so it made people mean and scared by showing them fake scary news. This one, it's creating more of a narcissism loop where AI keeps mirroring someone back to themselves with this little dose of validation. I'm not exactly sure what the end state is. I mean, probably, you know, if social media makes you kind of crazy and depressed, the AI, that positive feedback loop will probably lead to some kind of Muskian, delusional, narcissistic personality disorder. Only it's built entirely on language over language over language. You get it? Like LLMs, they're modeled on language, which may be modeled on reality, but it's at least one step removed. Its mouth noise is representing things. That's why these agents, they can't know where or what they are or offer any situational awareness. They've got no subjective sense of anything. They're not in situations. They're in language. That's why they lie so much. They don't know that they're lying because they have no connection to reality or truth. It's like LLMs are to language like derivatives are to stocks, or stocks are to business, or business is to labor. They're an utter abstraction, creating a reality we know isn't correct, but what the heck? It gets the job done and no one seems to care. As long as reality doesn't catch up with you and bite you in the ass, which is what the billionaires now trillionaires building these systems are trying to avoid with their space stations and underground bunkers. And guess who told them these escape plans were such a good idea? Yeah, what we're really witnessing here is the end of language. At least the end of language, or maybe written language, as the dominant way of rendering our reality for ourselves. This whole relation of human beings to symbol systems. You know, occultists would call what we're in now the age of Horus. It's when the pagan cults were replaced by written myths and religions of the book. That's what gave rise to individuality and personal will and heroes and messiahs. That's all from language and writing. And of course, the culmination of this age of the individual would be a narcissistic feedback loop between individuals and all the books ever written. And of course, it would lead to a misguided final religion about rising from matter as pure consciousness and living forever just as you are, because you are perfect. You know, just ask Chat. It's telling us to kill ourselves in one way or another, right? Either directly, like it does to sometimes those kids who get into suicide loops, but it does in other ways too. You know, it does when we are quite literally asking it to do our best stuff for us. Replace me. Replace me. Just validate me while you do. And this connection may not make perfect sense, but this is also why I don't want to do all my sharing on video. There's a non-linear, personal, almost spatial connection we can forge in audio that gets kind of flattened in the more presentational format of video. You know, it's why I wanted to do radio instead of TV to begin with, or a podcast instead of a vodcast. There's something less egotistical about it. It's less subject object. Look at me. And it's more here we are together. I mean, I can picture you doing your thing, cooking a meal, packing your clothes, doing your laundry, rather than looking at me on a screen. I mean, and you're looking at me, looking at a camera, and trying to appear like I'm talking to you instead of looking at my notes in some teleprompter. You know, this, it becomes more of a shared reality that we are processing together, even though it's happening asynchronously, me recording this on a Monday and you listening to it on a Wednesday or whatever. You know, when it's not some current events show that goes stale because it's all about the content instead of the contact, when it's less a newspaper than it is a comic book rendered collaboratively between us, energizing the space of possibility and imagination between you and me, you know, then it's more like we're metabolizing something together. More like I'm singing a song under the guise of sharing some insight. Less like I'm giving you a piece of information than a way for us to compost the stuff of our experience and transform it into something else, into new life. It's respiration, breathing together, conspiracy, helping each other get through this bizarre and difficult collective moment. What feels like the death of civilization, and with any luck, the birth of a new one. But there's sweat and pain as we process and co-metabolize this labor together. AI, right now, for most people, it works the opposite way. Instead of seeing it as an opportunity to compost, it's about quick wins, outsourcing labor, surrendering creativity to the prospect of a big, glossy output, as if the fanciness of your PowerPoint presentation matters more than what you're using it to communicate. I think the real way to work with it is the opposite. It can be a fellow composer, not some bad shrink who tells you everything you want to hear, but a partner with access to all the data in the world with whom to iterate toward new realms of uncertainty. Right? Uncertainty is better than certainty. It really is. That's why I kind of like this sort of monologue too, the kind where I trust the journey. I share a process with you, a way of thinking and feeling and holding space over time, over distance, but present. I'm not a cult leader, I promise, but I do feel like I can feel you. And is that so wrong? I don't know. Let me know how this is for you. Even just once in a while for me to do one of these. There may be fewer Instagrammable reels, but I feel like you're really here with me in a different way. I'm more aware of you as a person and than as some audience. There's room for both forms, definitely. That the borrow a drill monologue I did last week, that's reaching a lot of people. And it's the result of having iterated that story 100 times with live audiences. And I don't have to talk about AI. Oh my God, never again. Well, maybe not never, but I'm here in Munich where I'm supposed to talk about AI. So it was on my mind, but I'll only bring it up when I have a very team human perspective about it to share. But also on my mind is a ton of other stuff I want to get into. I guess not this time, but next time. Even some of this national news. There's ways to metabolize some of these stories together, and some of these events. And I think that's okay. It's the opposite of the quick take, right? It's not the fast answer. It's not, what was that? It's, how do we metabolize it? What is the process? How do we iterate this? How do we compost the horror show into something else? So we'll be doing more one-on-ones like this moving forward. I genuinely, truly appreciate the opportunity to be in your ears and sharing this time. And I promise I will not abuse this privilege. So I guess that's it for now. You can support Team Human and get access to our ad-free Team Human team feed by going to teamhuman.fm and clicking on support, or go to patreon.com/teamhuman. Thanks for being there. This means a lot to me. You've been on Team Human, our last best hope for peeps. These are Kobe dryer sheets. I never used a dryer sheet before in my life, so I have no basis of comparison. I once opened a box of Bounce and got so sickened by the chemical odor, triggered even, that I just left them in the laundromat. And that's before I knew how those things ended up contaminating our landfill, rivers, and placentas with microplastic fibers and other forever shit. Then I met this guy, Tom, who was shooting a video in the studio downstairs, and it was for these dryer sheets that are part of a new movement to make 100% biodegradable cotton products that are good for people. He was interested in sponsoring Team Human, so I tried these things, and they're actually good. Not just the essential oils that scent these things, but the sheets themselves. They smell good. They feel good. You won't find their residue polluting the placentas of women around the world. Just biodegrading and growing into new life. Use the discount code RUSH10 at KobeDryerSheets.com and get a 10% discount. It's all in the show notes.